Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, a handful of Democrat senators have now finally caved, and they're now voting with Republican U.S. senators to finally end this federal government shutdown. But boy, look at the reactions. Here's a headline from Mediaite that just came out earlier this morning. Democrats rage at pathetic shutdown, betrayal in mass backlash. I was scanning the Montana Politics hashtag on X earlier this morning, and the list of Democrats that are enraged at a handful of their own Democrat senators for finally ending this government shutdown, apparently, that effort's underway right now, extends also to some Montana legislators. State Senator Ellie Boldman out of Missoula is calling them, quote, weak-ass Democrats, pathetic, and then using the thumbs-down emoji, referring to the handful of Senate Democrats who are now voting to try to bring this federal government shutdown to an end. We'll talk about that and more here. We've got the phone lines open for you here on this Monday Montana Talks. Definitely want to hear from you. This is your chance to be heard all across Montana. You can call in right now. 406-294-0970. But I want to start by talking about beef and the cattle industry and much more. In fact, I was looking at the time hack on this post by President Trump on Truth Social. Yeah, it came out after the show wrapped up on Friday. I was out last week. Big thanks to David Noble for covering down. But this big news broke after Montana Talks had already wrapped up on Friday. Huge deal here. President Trump, after meeting with cattle state senators, or beef state senators, however you want to refer to it, like Montana's own Senator Tim Sheehy, now President Trump out with a major statement. Here's what President Trump had to say on Truth Social. He says, I have asked the DOJ to immediately begin an investigation into the meat packing companies who are driving up the price of beef through illicit collusion, price fixing, and price manipulation. He says, we will always protect our American ranchers, and they are being blamed for what is being done by majority foreign-owned meat packers who artificially inflate prices and jeopardize the security of our nation's food supply. Action must be taken immediately to protect consumers, combat illegal monopolies, and ensure these corporations are not criminally profiting at the expense of the American people. I am asking the DOJ to act expeditiously. Thank you for your attention to this matter. That was a post by President Trump on Truth Social Friday afternoon. Attorney General Pam Bondi says the investigation is already underway. Talk about that and more right here with Montana Talks, back after this.
Securing America.
On Friday, in a speech before the National War College in Washington, Secretary of War Pete Hegseth took aim at a problem he says
disrupts the defense of the United States and places the lives of our men and women in uniform at risk.
That problem? Pentagon bureaucracy. Specifically, the procurement of weapons. Hegseth announcing that the system is being changed from the old contractor-based method to a model which will aim
to get capabilities into the hands of our warfighters at speed.
Hegseth explaining further.
Commercial solutions first that meet our needs faster, even if that means bids do not meet every requirement.
The secretary adding that projects will now need to be flexible.
We will be open to buying the 85% solution and iterate together over time to achieve the 100% solution.
Critics express concern about the quality of weapon systems at the speed the Pentagon is now asking for. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Winter.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so I was out last week, and then I think it was the week before, we did our show live from Capitol Hill back in Washington, D.C. We had the entire congressional delegation join us for that show, plus we got a chance to catch up with several other members of Congress, senators like North Dakota's Kevin Cramer, Bruce Westerman, the chairman of the House Natural Resources Committee as well. But I tell you what, almost every single one of those members, we had talked about beef, and we had talked about cattle prices with, even if I didn't bring it up, they wanted to bring it up because they've been bringing it up with President Donald J. Trump. And it sounds like that is exactly what led to this investigation by the Trump administration and what led to President Trump now publicly calling out the meatpacking companies. In fact, Politico, this post by President Trump came out, I think it was, Friday afternoon, Montana time. And then shortly after this post came out by President Trump calling out the meat packing companies, calling for an investigation, he also had another post that he shared on Truth Social saying this: while cattle prices have dropped substantially, the price of boxed beef has gone up. Therefore, you know that something is fishy. We will get to the bottom of it very quickly. If there is criminality, those people responsible will pay a steep price. And shortly after these statements were put out there by President Trump on Truth Social, Burgess Everett, who is a reporter with Politico, said this: per a person familiar, this post follows a meeting with the president and beef state senators Mullen, Sheehy, and Hyde Smith. There has been a lot of concern among Republicans about this. Yeah, and as you know, if you were listening to our show the week before last, when we spoke with Senator Steve Daines talked to us about how he personally was talking with the president about this issue. Senator Sheehy, very clearly his meeting with the president, along with Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen and Mississippi Senator Cindy Hyde Smith. That meeting is what prompted this investigation and these posts by President Trump. So clearly the efforts of our Montana delegation is having an impact here. But I thought it was very interesting. Before we move on to other topics and, you know, that what now seems to be the end of the federal government shutdown, maybe later today or by tomorrow. But I thought it was really interesting. While I was out enjoying a few vacation days, I read this incredible book that a friend gave to me. And it's the autobiography of a former state senator from the Flathead Valley of Montana, Fred Whiteside. Now, for those of you who don't know the history, I'm sure many of you know it, the history of former state senator of Whiteside from the Flathead Valley of Montana. He was the famed lawmaker around the turn of the 1900s who fought corruption in the Montana Capitol. And, you know, just before, 1900, that's when they were building Montana's Capitol, when they were getting ready to build the Capitol in Helena, the beautiful capital that you see today. And basically there was this whole corrupt scheme where some of the lawmakers on the Capitol Commission were conspiring with an architect. They were going to raise $5 million to build the Capitol, even though they knew that the Capitol could be built for far less money. And then they were going to pocket the rest of the money. Well, Fred Whiteside was on to their scheme and exposed the whole thing. And, of course, they ended up building the Montana Capitol for far less money. And then he's also the same Montana lawmaker who exposed the bribery corruption scheme of the of the Copper Kings trying to buy off a United States Senate seat. But his autobiography, if you've never read it, it really is a great Montana history book. But as I was reading it, there was this quote that stood out to me. And I think it's the only book, or it's the only quote in his book that references agriculture. Because at one point he became a fruit farmer in the Flathead Valley. He had apparently a pretty good-sized orchard. And he wrote this in his book, and I thought it ties in perfectly with President Trump calling out the meat packers, calling out the fact that just that you basically got foreign-owned companies and a tiny amount of businesses that actually own these meatpacking companies. And basically, as we know here in Montana, we've talked about it at length here on the show, is the problem when it comes to the prices right now is, and we saw this especially on steroids during COVID-19, is that okay, you're seeing high prices for beef at the grocery store. I mean, try going out and buying a steak at the grocery store right now. But then how come our ranchers on the ground aren't getting those types of prices? Packers seem to be doing fine. What about the ranchers on the ground? And listen to this quote that was in the autobiography of former state senator Fred Whiteside. He said, quote, "I learned from bitter experience that the world has but little sympathy with the man who feeds it. He must sell his products at the price fixed by those who buy, and for all he buys, he must pay the price fixed by those who sell." That was a quote in Whiteside's autobiography, and I thought it was interesting that I read that quote as I finished that book on the very same day that President Trump announced this investigation into the meatpacking companies. All right, let's get into the federal government shutdown, the latest on that front. Democrats are outraged at this handful of Senate Democrats that are now voting to work to end the federal government shutdown. What do you want to talk about? Give us a call right now, 406-294-0970. Dwayne in Polson, you'll be first up. We'll get to Dwayne in Polson right after this.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, California Governor Gavin Newsom is calling it pathetic as well. I think that was the word used by Democrat State Senator Ellie Boldman out of Missoula. But here you go. This is from Mediaite. com. Eight members of the Democratic caucus who backed a late-night deal aimed at reopening the government and ending the 40-day shutdown have ignited backlash from inside their own coalition, with critics slamming the move as a, quote, pathetic surrender. The shutdown, the longest in U.S. history, had been framed by Democrats as a last stand over health care. They claimed they were holding out to force the extension of so-called Affordable Care Act subsidies that lapse at the end of the year. Instead, the agreement clinched last night punts the entire issue to a separate vote next month, which many believe will fail. Not only will it fail, hopefully, but it should fail, frankly, if you ask me. Anyway, interested in your take, 406-294-0970. Let's go to Dwayne in Polson. Dwayne, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Thanks, Aaron. Welcome back, by the way.
Thank you.
This morning is a perfect example. The Democrats had a golden opportunity all this time during the shutdown to make it look like they back in the good old, I'm told back in the good old days when they pretend to care about the common man or the farmers. You know, just try to pretend to work with everyone like they used to. But no, they'd rather throw a tizzy fit and see everyone suffer, from the people that need food stamps to the military, to the aircraft controllers, rather than admit that they were wrong or they might not be right. And I just, it just blows my mind every time. Even during when President Trump made a speech to Congress there and they all sat and held their signs, they had plenty of times to show a little cohesion or show that they're not a bunch of spoiled little kids and wouldn't even stand for that brave kid with cancer, and they'd rather act like jerks.
Yeah. And what's ironic about the whole thing, or funny about the whole thing, is Chuck Schumer is the one who led Senate Democrats into this Schumer shutdown of the federal government, and yet even still, now that a handful of Democrats have now caved and will vote to reopen the federal government. First off, apparently the Democrats are now wishing. They want this government shutdown to continue. So any of you out there who were concerned with any of the topics that Duane just talked about, yeah, the majority of the Democrats out there want the federal government shutdown to continue. But now, even though Schumer kept voting with the shutdown Democrats, they're still calling for him to be replaced. Ro Khanna, a Democrat member of Congress, said Senator Schumer is no longer effective and should be replaced. And there's a laundry list of other Democrats basically still calling for Chuck Schumer to be replaced as the Senate Democrat leader, despite the fact that he caved into their every demands on the government shutdown.
Exactly. They just wasted a golden opportunity to at least pretend they're not the bunch of crazies and spoiled little children that they are.
Well said. Well said, Duane. Thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. 406-294-0970 is the number if you got something you want to share as well. Let's see. I do think, you know, the Democrats' bluff got called. This whole Obamacare subsidies, first off, the reason why healthcare premiums continue to go up and up and up and why healthcare premiums have skyrocketed and why care has simultaneously gone down is because of Obamacare. And as we heard, I interviewed Lauren Stewart while I was on Capitol Hill a couple weeks ago, and she pointed out a new CMS report, a Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services report, said that if they keep the Obamacare subsidies in place, the COVID-era subsidies, that premiums will rise even higher and that people that are enrolled in ACA plans will have fewer options. So they claim to be fighting for a subsidy that only makes things worse. And frankly, we know that's never what this was about. This was about them getting another $1.6 trillion in federal spending. This was about them giving your money to illegal aliens so illegal aliens could get free health care while you pay more and more and more. But President Trump, with a brilliant maneuver here. So the Democrats are complaining. They're calling this a betrayal. They're saying, you know, okay, so the Republicans are going to allow a vote on the COVID-era subsidies. But even their own Democrats are saying that that vote is going to fail, as it should. Because as we've pointed out already, the Obamacare subsidies are actually the COVID-era subsidies, the COVID crap that they want to keep going, like the rest of the COVID crap they shoved down our throats, will only make things worse. But also now President Trump is just spot on. He is saying, look, instead of keeping a COVID-era subsidy in place that basically just goes right into the pockets of these big insurance companies, we should give your money back to you. The American people should get their own money back in their own pocket. And then you decide how to use that for your health care options. Mark Wayne Mullen, the Oklahoma senator who, along with Senator Tim Sheehy, met with President Trump to talk about beef. Here he is talking about these COVID-era subsidies. He was on Sunday Briefing on Fox yesterday.
That the hundreds of billions of dollars currently being sent to money-sucking insurance companies in order to save the bad health care provided by Obamacare be sent directly to the people so they can purchase their own much better health care and have money left over.
Absolutely brilliant move by the president, and I agree with him 100%. These insurance companies, we're subsidizing them to have high health premiums anyways. Keep in mind, ACA, affordable health care, has not been affordable. President Obama said it was going to drop premiums by 25%. As we sit here right now, without the premium increase of that the health care industry is putting on the American people, it's up 221%. And why are we subsidizing them an additional 4% when they're making record profits, which I'm a capitalist. I'm okay with insurance companies making money, but taxpayers shouldn't pad their pockets even more on top of that. What President Trump is saying is, hey, let's give the money to the individual and let them choose their own health care and use the money for actual health care rather making insurance companies even more profitable.
Yeah, if you remember, one of the things Lauren Stewart shared last week was she made the point that, okay, the Democrats, the way they designed this COVID-era Obamacare subsidy was, the money doesn't even go to you. It doesn't go to you to use for your own health care. The money goes straight to the insurance companies. Whether you use your insurance or not, they pocket your cash. That's what the Democrats claim to be fighting so aggressively for. Makes you wonder. In fact, remember when Bernie Sanders flew his private jet into Missoula for the AOC Bernie rally? Remember when he got called out about getting so much money from the insurance industry? It's starting to make sense now, isn't it? Bernie Sanders is pocketing cash from the insurance company while he simultaneously fights so aggressively to take money out of your pocket and shove it into the insurance company's pockets. Boy, that is rich, isn't it? Sure is rich. Next up on the phone lines, let's go to Joe in Warden. Joe, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling in.
Well, I'm calling in about the beef packers and the how we got here, you know, and how long it took to get here. I mean, this has been generations that the beef packers have been consolidating, you know, their power. And, you know, for instance, in 1983, we had about 1,200,000 beef farmers and ranchers, and we're down to about 550,000 today. And anyway, the consolidation, a lot of it in the past, say, 20 years, would have been helped if we would have had mandatory country boys labeling, which our representatives in Congress here in Montana have not supported. And they'll tap dance around this. In fact, I confronted Zinke on your program about a year ago about this, and he just shut me up. He just said, I listen to my ag advisors. Well, the ag advisors are told what to do by the National Cattlemen's Beef Association and downstream by the Montana stock growers. And they say, well, we'll vote for country of origin labeling as long as the World Trade Organization, known as the WTO, approves it. And they will never approve it. And that's the reason that we don't have it today. But it's just crazy that we have a country of origin labeling on every one of our apples and every one of our undershirts. So anyway,
I think we all agree. We want to see not just a true American beef label, but a Montana beef label, which is why we need more slaughter facilities, more local meat processing done, which I know everybody's working to get more of that done. Hey, got to get your take here, Joe. Are you familiar with Congresswoman Hageman out of Wyoming? She's got H.R. 5818, the Country of Origin Labeling Enforcement Act of 2025. I saw Congressman Ryan Zinke is backing that legislation, says he wants to make Montana cool again by backing country of origin labeling. Are you familiar with that specific bill? Is that something that you're supportive of?
Oh, I am definitely supporting that. I'm surprised that Zinke's not doing that. But I would have pushed Zinke into a corner and ask him, are you going to insist that the World Trade Organization approves of this? And, you know, you talk about Montana beef. That's not what is important to us cattlemen. It's United States beef.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have packing plants here.
Well, and then the challenge is
our businesses without support of this nationwide. I mean, this isn't just a Montana issue.
Well, and then the challenge is, too, is like, okay, well, what if your cattle started in Lewistown, but then they get finished up in Canada, right, which is apparently a big deal right now. How does that get impacted? All right, quick break. Thanks for the call.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
On Friday, President Trump made two posts on Truth Social addressing concerns about the beef packing industry. In the first post, he called on the Department of Justice to investigate major meat packing companies, or the Big Four, as they are called, for alleged collusion, price fixing, and price manipulation that he said hurt American ranchers and consumers. In the second post, the president noted that while cattle prices have fallen, boxed beef prices had risen, calling the situation fishy and warning that if wrongdoing was found, those responsible would pay a steep price. The Department of Justice also made a social media post saying they were following through with the president's directive to look into the meat packers. This is a developing story we will continue to track. In other news, the Fertilizer Institute has praised the U.S. Geological Survey for adding phosphate and potash to the final list of critical minerals, a list revised every 3 years to identify materials vital to the U.S. economy and national security. The group said the recognition will benefit American farmers, strengthen food security, and reduce supply chain risks, as these key fertilizer ingredients are largely controlled by a few nations. The group emphasized that food security equals national security. Currently, China and Russia produce 53% of global phosphate, while China, Russia, and Belarus supply more than 67% of potash. I'm Lane Northland.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, we got some great messages coming in on the Montana Talks app. Let's see, Coulter. Coulter in Belgrade sent us this message on the Montana Talks app. Hello, this is Coulter with Two Kings Snow Removal and Outlaw Brewing. That's a great place, by the way. He says, we are buying beers for veterans tomorrow at Outlaw Brewing. If you could mention this on your show, we would appreciate it. He also says, happy birthday, Marines. Semper Fi. Yeah, 250th birthday of the United States Marine Corps. Yeah, that Outlaw Brewing, what a great place that is there in Bozeman. We've had a few vet togethers there. You know, instead of get-togethers, it's vet togethers, veterans getting together. We've had, man, so many incredible American patriots, Gold Star dads that have joined us for vet togethers there over the years as well. So very cool. Coulter, thanks for that message. Let's see. Tim in Billings says this. Anytime the government pays a company, that is no longer capitalism. That is crony capitalism, because the people who make policy and pass laws decide which companies win and which companies lose based on who cuts the biggest donor check. So I'm sure he's referring to the Obamacare COVID subsidies that go right into the pockets of the insurance companies. That's what the Democrats are fighting for. Sally in Sunburst, I suggest we don't call the handful of Democrats who finally voted to reopen the government cavers. I'd say those seven or eight are compromisers, demeaning Democrats who come to the Republican side for a few minutes should not be demeaned by Republicans or conservatives, in my opinion. That's a good point. But I guess the other question would be is, well, why did they just now finally vote to reopen the government? This was the longest federal government shutdown in history. And in fact, even their own Democrats are saying, oh, well, why did we stage this fight for this long for nothing? And I guess I would argue, Sally, that it wasn't for nothing. They waited until last Tuesday. And governor races and gubernatorial races in Virginia, New Jersey, city municipal elections in places like New York City. They believed that they could not reopen the federal government because they needed their far-left radical base to turn out, which it did, in those elections. So why did they cave or compromise now instead of compromising a week ago? So they were willing to cause all of this harm for all of this time. For what? It sure looks like for elections, for politics. 406-294-0970. Let's go next to Susan in Missoula. Susan, great to hear from you.
Hey there. I'm just calling to wish the Marines, including my father, Lieutenant Colonel Frederick H. Campbell, who is buried next to his buddies from the Battle of Iwo Jima at Arlington National Cemetery. I want to wish all of them a very happy birthday as a part of the United States Marine Corps. This is their 250th birthday, and I am looking forward to seeing you, Aaron, tomorrow in Missoula to celebrate Veterans Day. You're going to be at the American Legion Post 27 breakfast. It starts at 7 a.m. and goes until 9 a.m., and then you're going to be talking to a bunch of really cool dudes and dudettes.
That's right. You included.
And you're going to be presenting a flag in honor of the Iraq-Afghanistan heroes that fought terrorism.
What an honor.
At the Doughboy statue. And that's going to be at 11 a.m. on the 11th day of the 11th hour of the 11th month at the Missoula Courthouse. And I hope people listening who are in the Missoula Bitterroot area will come to the Missoula Courthouse. We hope we get as big a showing as the people who are anti-American showed up in Missoula by the thousands about 3 weeks ago and clogged the streets in Missoula to shut down businesses. I hope as many people show up to show their support for veterans.
So, Susan, can I confess something to you? Can I admit something to you, even though we're live statewide on the airways? As a veteran, I hate working on Veterans Day. Not because I hate working.
I know.
The reason I hate working and doing a show like this on Veterans Day is because I feel like I can never give the day the justice that it deserves. Mm-hmm. Same thing with other big days like that. Because I feel like there's this burden on my shoulders to like, holy cow, I owe so much to our fellow veterans out there. That how could you ever do a show that gives it the... So that's a big reason why I want to be at... We're going to be at the American Legion on Ronan Street in Missoula tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I need you guys to come help me give Veterans Day the justice that it deserves. I need you to come share your stories. Or if you want to share the story of another veteran, do that. Right? And so frankly, like going to Missoula and doing the show from the American Legion is much easier than me trying to think up something or piece something together or schedule a bunch of guests. And so really just hanging out with a bunch of fellow veterans and enjoying a meal, what better way to spend Veterans Day, frankly, right?
Well, and Ronan Street American Legion was founded in 1919, right after the close of World War One, and so it is one of the oldest American Legion posts in the entire United States. It is at 825 Ronan Street. They put together a fantastic homemade, home-cooked breakfast. And like I said, it starts at 7 a.m. and it goes until 9 a.m. And then you are going to be broadcasting live from that breakfast. So we need lots of veterans to show up. All the money collected during that breakfast goes to help veterans. So we hope a lot of people show up.
Well, Susan, thank you so much for all you continue to do for veterans. And, yeah, I saw that your dad served you mentioned a happy birthday to the U.S. Marine Corps. He served from 1943 to 1968, World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. Wow. And then, of course, her husband, a Vietnam veteran as well. Absolutely remarkable. Thanks for all you do. By the way, the full rundown of tomorrow's events, and yes, I will be there. We'll be doing our show live. We'll have microphones open for you. I'll be set up enjoying breakfast as early as 7 a.m., so you can come down early, and we can record an interview with you earlier if that's what you want to do. But, yeah, come down and see us. Full rundown. This is the 99th Veterans Day ceremony, as I understand it, at that location. All right, 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Next up, let's go to Skip in Hamilton. Skip, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Oh, thank you, Aaron. And, you know, I was calling in to bring up Veterans Day and a couple of things about it. And there's nobody better to follow than Susan Renaud, who you just talked to, who's in the Missoula area, does amazing things on Veterans Day and Flag Day for the people that end up learning things and understanding, especially flag history on Flag Day and important events that are talked about on Veterans Day. And so, meanwhile, I wanted to just add to that and encourage people, especially us older people, whether you're a veteran or not, to make sure that as many young people in your life as possible get exposed to military history. And the especially dynamic events that happened that could have gone different ways, but were fortunate enough that we won, or we ended up in a position where things were better for us, and the people that sacrificed even their lives for it. And so I just want young people to somehow get more involved, and that's our duty as mature, older people to make sure that they get a taste of that so they realize how precious
they can come out and hear these stories,
how precious
too.
It is that we live where we do, sir.
Yeah, they
so
can come out.
Also for your service.
Thank
and,
you, Skip.
Tomorrow is a very important day.
Will we see you tomorrow, Skip? Are you going to come on up? Can you make it up to Missoula tomorrow?
I'll be in Missoula, but for another event with some flag officers and a political event that's private after that.
All right. Okay. Well, I hope I see you maybe at the 11 o'clock event, if not for the live show tomorrow. Either way, appreciate you calling in. Thanks for serving, Skip. Thanks for the call. Speaking of the United States Marine Corps birthday, I got to play this soundbite from Vice President J.D. Vance, a Marine Corps veteran himself.
We've got all this incredible technology, and of course the United States is the most significant leader of technology in the world. But I happen to believe that the most important warfighting technology is not a new airplane. The most important warfighting technology is not artificial intelligence or anything on a computer. The most important warfighting technology is a well-trained and well-armed United States Marine, and we won't forget it.
Reminds me so much of a great quote that my company commander shared with me back in Iraq a little under 20 years ago. We focused so much on all the gear, the F-18s, the up armor. In the end, when you strip it down, this is a person-to-person commitment won by individual soldiers at the lowest tactical level, the team leaders, squad leaders, and platoon leaders.
Did you know that?
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Did she call them losers? Was it losers? Well, kind of. Okay, different word. Weak-ass Democrats. Pathetic. That's the word that Democrat State Senator Ellie Boldman used for the cavers, compromisers, whatever term you want to use, a handful of Senate Democrats now voting to reopen the federal government, voting with Republicans who've been voting consistently, by the way, the Republicans have, to reopen the federal government. But this is a funny message that came in on the Montana Talks app. This came from John in Kalispell. It's funny how Ellie Boldman calls Democrats losers for compromising, yet in the Montana Senate, she calls the compromising Republican compromisers heroes. So when Democrats compromise, they're weak-ass Democrats, they're pathetic. But when Republicans compromise, they're heroes. Now, well, that's a good point there from John in Kalispell. All right, let's see. Before we get to our next caller here, we'll get to Mike and Bozeman here in just a second. Speaking of the Marine Corps birthday, hey, I met a great Marine Corps veteran from Big Fork, Montana at President Trump's inauguration back in January. And it's really cool. He built his own product. He launched his own product. And especially if you're a fellow veteran and you got those aches and pains, but you still have to be active, you still want to be active, well, maybe you need a little energy before your workout or before your hike or before that long drive across the state. But maybe you also got some lower back pain or some other aches and pains at the same time. That's why he built Power Plus Pain Aid. You get the energy and you get the natural pain-relieving vitamins all in one tiny little shot. Go to drinkpowerplus.com, enter the code FLINT15, get 15% off your product. Drinkpowerplus.com. 15% off with the code FLINT15. Let's go to Mike in Bozeman. Mike, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hey, Aaron. Hey, I was just curious. How many miles a year do you travel in Montana hosting events and doing your show at different towns?
Oh, man. I probably should have started keeping track. Yeah, it's got to be crazy. It's got to be a crazy number of miles. Good question.
Well, just real quick. I just want to say I appreciate your service. I appreciate your radio service and the way you handle details and information. I think that you're the closest thing we've got to a Montana version of Rush Limbaugh. So anyway, we appreciate you being out there for us.
Wow, which is it's still very, very, very far away from ever being great like Rush Limbaugh. But nonetheless, I appreciate your kind remarks. You know, it's a lot of work, and it's time-consuming to travel and then do all the work and do the show on top of it all. But I'll tell you what, when you get out to Glendive and you go to the Gate Show and you get to the Farm Expo in Plentywood, and, you know, we're going to be at the Farm Bureau Convention in Missoula, we're going to be at the Veterans Day deal tomorrow. You know, if you're ever, you know, frustrated with what's going on in the world, go to the Gate Show in Glendive, go to the Farm Expo. Go to the Farm Bureau Convention, and you're going to meet the most salt-of-the-earth people that are going to restore your faith in everything. And it sounds like we lost Mike. All right, Mike, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Very, very kind words. 406-294-0970. Next up, let's see. We got a caller calling in from the North 40. Goes by the name Little Deer, calling in from the North 40. Hey, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling in.
Hey, I wanted to wish a happy Veterans Day tomorrow, brother.
Oh, I know who this is. Okay, I recognize the voice.
You like it too.
Are you at the? Are you? Where are you at right now?
I'm in Eureka.
Man, you guys got a big playoff game coming up Friday.
Saturday.
Oh, it's a Saturday game. Oh, well, that works out well. Maybe it's a daytime game. Okay. All right.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, Fawn, if you can. Yeah, it's so great to hear from you. Happy Veterans Day for you tomorrow, especially since I'll be on location in Missoula, so I won't be able to take phone calls like normal. But what do you want to tell folks ahead of Veterans Day? And thanks for your service.
Always remember the vets from all the eras. Think about what World War One and World War Two did for us up and through Vietnam. My dad was a Korean War vet. My uncles were Korean War up into the Afghan and Iraq. People just don't know what all people went through and what they sacrificed for our country.
Great point. And the families. People are deployed right now as we speak, and how many families are back at home, and even some of their close friends and neighbors don't realize what a sacrifice that is, right? And are just going on about their day-to-day business while these families are just facing a world of sacrifice.
And it was compounded worse with the government shutdown.
That's right. Yeah, a lot of troops, especially the junior enlisted, wondering how they're going to put food on the table. Great points. Fawn, great to hear from you. And, appreciate all you do for your fellow veterans. Great to hear from you calling in from Eureka. What a pleasure. Hey, come down and see us if you're in Missoula tomorrow or if you can make the trip. I'll have the microphones open for Veterans Day. Full story, full details with where I will be. Go to MontanaTalks.com. If you